Hello, Bethel Church. Hey, Pastor Tim. Thanks again for the opportunity of being with you and your amazing faith community. Before I dive in, listen, thank you. Thank you, everyone, just for your faithfulness and your generosity over the years. Bethel Church and Convoy of Hope, we've watched God do some amazing things. We've met a lot of human need, and I have a feeling we're about to do some even greater things together. But it doesn't just start with big and large and great. Sometimes it starts with something simple and something small. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You know, sometimes we equate small with insignificant. But in the kingdom, our small and simple yes to Jesus can not only make a difference, it can make the difference. When I think of small, I'm reminded of someone named Edward Lorenz. Edward was an MIT meteorologist, and in 1960, he was conducting experiments in his laboratory, simulating global weather patterns. And day after day, he entered an equation into a computer system. And here was the number he used, 0.506127. Day after day, he entered in 0.506127. Well, one day, his morning got away from him, and so rather than entering the six-digit number, he decided to round it up, and he abbreviated it, and he entered in 0.506. Now, if you think about that, here's the difference. The difference between the two numbers is something very small. To be exact, it was 0.000127. Well, Edward Lorenz left the office in the laboratory, and he came back, and to his surprise, he realized that the entire world in a simulated weather environment was being completely destroyed because of severe weather patterns. And so he sat down and he did what scientists do. He crunched some numbers and he wrote out some equations and he asked himself some questions. And he quickly realized, this is where the difference is. Rather than entering into the equation 0.506127, I entered in 0.506. How is it that a number that small can have such a global impact? And this is what Edward realized, that the number that he left off of the equation is directly equivalent to the amount of wind or force generated by the flap of one butterfly's wing. It became known throughout the scientific community as the butterfly effect. Something as small as the flap of one butterfly's wing can have a huge global impact. And when I think of the kingdom of God, I just don't always think of the big and the small and the great things. Sometimes I think of people like you and I doing the small things, but with a full heart. That's often what honors Jesus. And it is often what allows us to stand here on the timeline of history in our generation as we partner with God to write the next chapter in the divine story. When I think of small, my mind immediately goes to a story that perhaps you may be familiar with. I'm going to read out of John chapter 6, just a few verses. This is what it says, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias is the name the Romans gave it. And then a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain and he sat there with his disciples. Verse 4, now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread so that these may eat? And this he said to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. I just have to stop here. I love that about Jesus. They face a significant need. They face an impossibility, and Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You know, that's true for us today, isn't it? That no matter what we face, no matter what uncertainty or at times even anxiety may come to the surface because of a particular circumstance or trial, I love that Jesus is never surprised. He is never caught off guard, but he always has in mind what he is going to do. Moving on, it says in verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. A denarii was the day's wage of a common laborer. So he's basically saying about a half of a year's salary isn't even enough to meet this need. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these among so many?" For just a few minutes, I want to talk to you about taking what seems small and little and placing it into the hands of Jesus and watching him do what only he can do alone, which is to take something small and do something significant with it. This miracle that we read about in John chapter 6, that many of us call the feeding of the 5,000, it is mentioned in all 4 Gospels. Now, only this miracle and the resurrection of Jesus are mentioned in all 4 Gospels. When God says something once, it is incredibly important. But when God says something 4 times, I don't know about you, but I lean in and I pray and I ask, okay, God, what are you showing me? How can I apply this to my life today? Well, this miracle, Jesus feeding the 5,000, is mentioned in all 4 Gospels. Now, in order to understand what the Bible means, we have to understand what it meant. So, right before John chapter 6, when you take all of the Gospels and put them together, Jesus sends out 12 of his disciples to go out and demonstrate the kingdom of God in a practical way. You know, that's important to remember about the kingdom. The kingdom is not just to be talked about. The kingdom must be demonstrated. And Jesus is also getting ready to send out the 70 disciples to do the same. And right in between Jesus sending out the 12 and Jesus sending out the 70 is this story when Jesus feeds the multitude. Now, I did some research. Jesus and some of his friends, they get into a little boat on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and they leave. Now, the Sea of Galilee is approximately 14 miles long by 9 miles wide. That's a big lake. And Jesus and his disciples travel from one side to the next, and by the time they come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the Bible tells us this. In Mark chapter 6, it tells us that the large crowd had already gathered there. Well, where did this crowd come from? This is the crowd of people that followed Jesus from village to village, town to town, who just experienced what the 12 apostles were doing. They literally followed Jesus as they travel across the lake. The crowd runs around the lake. And I did a little more research and I discovered that the crowd ran over 10 miles to beat Jesus and his disciples to the shore before the boat got there. The crowd was highly motivated to see Jesus. And Jesus sees the crowd. And although Jesus is tired and he is weary, and he has things on his mind and on his heart, Jesus looks at the multitude and he has compassion. He has compassion on them for many reasons, but one of the main reasons is because they are hungry. Now, food insecurity is a very real issue today. 135 million people face starvation every single day they wake up. And because of the impact of COVID-19, that number has actually grown to 250 million people. There are hundreds of millions of children who wake up every day, and the only meal they eat is once a day and usually out of school. There are people who don't have access to food today. Well, the context of John chapter 6, believe it or not, that was a very real issue even then. Access to food, food security, was a real issue. So much so that archaeologists have revealed that many Jewish priests in first century Jerusalem died by starvation. There just wasn't enough food to go around to the marginalized and the vulnerable, and the poor. And most of the crowd who followed Jesus were comprised of very poor people. Jesus sees the crowd and he realizes they don't have any food to eat. But Jesus responds in a peculiar way. Rather than Jesus snapping his fingers and causing a lot of food to drop down out of the sky, now, by the way, God did cause food to just appear in the Old Testament. It is called manna, so we know God can do that. But that's not at all what Jesus does. Instead, Jesus looks at some of his friends and he asks a simple question. Can you get them some food to eat? And if you look at the response of both Andrew and Philip, the response is telling, isn't it? Like, really? You want us to find enough food to feed 5,000 men plus women and children? It says 5,000 men in the Bible because even then, when the gospel writer penned the words of John 6, gender inequality was very rampant. The typical Jewish woman, for example, in first century Jerusalem was not allowed to attend synagogue. She was not allowed to attend what was called the house of learning or school, and she was only allowed to leave the house on rare occasions in the middle of the day to go to the well to draw water. Women were considered to be chattel or mere equipment for the male. That's why it says 5,000 men, because women and children were considered to be nothing. And Jesus doesn't just have compassion on the men. Jesus has compassion on the entire multitude. Where can you find enough food to feed everybody, he says. And basically his friends are clueless. They look at the size of the need and they look at the resource they have in their hands and they don't think, is it enough? You know, it's interesting in the Gospels, it says the multitude was great. In other words, the need was great. And Jesus has a conversation not with a highly trained religious leader, not with a professional athlete, not with a Roman gladiator. Jesus, of all things, has a conversation in this moment in John 6 with a little boy. There happens to be a little boy who's walking by who has 5 loaves of barley bread. Barley bread was the bread of the poor. And 2 small fish. So I want you to see this. Jesus sees the multitude that is great. And the resources they have access to seem so small. But just because something is small does not mean it is insignificant. When we take what we have and we place it into the hands of Jesus, something miraculous takes place, as we see in John 6. Jesus takes the bread and the fish, and before he prays, before the food is multiplied, Jesus does something very interesting. Jesus pauses. And the Bible says he gives thanks. Now, this word gives thanks is a word in the Greek New Testament. It is Eucharisto. It is where we derive our word Eucharist for the Lord's Supper. Now, Eucharisto comes from 2 words. The first word is a Greek word, eu. It means good. The second word is charis. It means grace. So when Jesus stops in the midst of a significant need where there is not enough resource, it is more than Jesus saying, hey God, thanks. Jesus pauses and very deliberately, definitively says, good, grace. And in a moment when what he has doesn't seem to be enough to meet the need, Jesus focuses on the goodness of God and the grace of God. He gives thanks, and then he gives the bread and the fish back to his friends. And as you read in the Gospels, they begin to distribute the bread and the fish among the multitude. And the food is not multiplied before they distribute it. When you look at the Gospels, the food is multiplied as they distribute it. And that is often the way the kingdom works. Sometimes we wait for God to give us a lot of resource before we partner and say yes. But I don't know about you, I've learned over the years that it is important for me to say yes to God long before I know what the need or the question is to begin with. The miracle occurs in the distribution. And everyone eats, the men, 5,000 of them, but also the women and the children. And there are many basketfuls of food left over. I love that. Today, you have an opportunity to take what you have. And it seems small. It seems insignificant. After all, we're talking about $10. Through Feed One, $10 can actually feed a child in Convoy of Hope's school-based feeding program for an entire month. $10 may seem small, like the fish. It may seem insignificant, like the barley bread. But when we take something small, when Jesus is there, it does not make it insignificant. When you give $10 a month, it allows Convoy of Hope to go to the remote villages in Burkina Faso, where the average woman stands in line 4 hours a day to draw unclean water from a well. And that woman will spend an additional 2 hours a day gathering firewood to boil the water to kill the parasites so that they have water to drink the next day. We're feeding children in Burkina Faso thanks to the generosity of people like you. I wish I could take you to India, where many of the children find their sustenance in the school slum, in the city dumps, and they literally have no food and no water. And because of that, they can't go to school because they can't pay attention in school. But we feed these kids at school so they receive an education while receiving a nutritious meal. It's not just that we feed children. We end the cycle of physical and spiritual poverty when you partner with us through Feed One and give $10 a month. I wish I could take you with me to Bangladesh, to Nicaragua, to places like Bulgaria and Moldova and Ethiopia and Honduras. In over 20 countries all over the world, right now, Convoy of Hope is feeding over 300,000 children in our school-based feeding program. And we couldn't do it without the generosity of people like you. Today, I'm not asking you to do something big. I'm not asking you to do something great. I'm asking you to do something that the little child did, which is to take something that seems small and insignificant and place it into the hands of Jesus. Because small does not mean insignificant when Jesus is there. Pastor Tim, I know that you and Bethel Church have a goal to feed at least 300 kids every month through Feed One. And I cannot wait for you to go with me to one of the villages where Bethel Church and Convoy of Hope together through Feed One feed some of these kids. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your compassion. And thank you for daring to believe that small does not mean insignificant. Together, let's feed one. Let's feed 100. Why not feed a million one day? Let's see what God does. God bless you.